This is professional radio, gentlemen.
And it's front wheel drive.
Scotty, have you got anyone you want to thank?
Just myself.
And now we do the after hours.
Gentlemen, what would you go for?
Thanks to your sin, dude.
Okay, and because it's not a supercar.
But it is.
It's not.
Automotive perfection comes in the form of two letters, A and U.
Long live my LTD.
Welcome to Car Talk. It's Tuesday night here on 90.9 Northwest FM. It's me, Matty J, online with Mr. Rizzy Ross Actor and Mr. Edward Bunting. How are you, gentlemen?
Hello.
Matthew, hello, Riz. Good.
Yes,
we are good.
Matthew.
Good to see both of you guys. Hope you've had a good week so far. Edward Bunting, it's been a while since we've had you on. You've been a busy
while.
Yeah, it's just been a bit disheveled over the summer break, and but hopefully now I'm back.
Back
to my routines. Yeah.
Good to see. Rizzy Ross, man, what's happening with you, dude? You've been well? Good to see you on again.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on, Matt. Been good. Been a while, Ed. So good to be on. We got Scotty joining us as well, which is...
Yeah, Scotty's in here.
He's got power. He's ready to go. So
yeah, all good.
Scotty's wearing a singlet just for our listeners at home. Guns, yeah, sun's out, guns out.
Guns out. Mm-hmm. I might have to roll up my sleeves now and just...
We can all just start doing it.
Come on, everyone, let's go. And lines.
David will come on and be like, what the fuck's going on? Just guns.
That's funny. Yes. Rizzy Ross Actor, you've been a busy man, as you always are, in the EV space. Now, dude, man, is it true that we've seen you parting?
Now, car companies are going to extreme length. And yes, the short answer is yes, I was partying last night with a car company, invited by a car company to an event where basically I was rubbing shoulders with DJ Havana Brown.
Wow.
Now, that's, I know, so 2010.
Yeah.
But apparently that's all the car company could get on. And Red Foo. Now, I don't even know who it was.
The guy from, was it LMFAO?
I didn't know who it was until this guy with this massive afro rocks up. And then I'm thinking, is this 2024 or is it 2004? But that was the sort of party that BYD threw last night on the river at the Melbourne Rowing Club.
Wow, yeah. So just for some clarification, Rizzy Ross, you were rubbing shoulders with the famous people from 2012 in Red Foo and DJ Havana Brown. This is big, man. This is huge. These are like Z-list celebrities right now, and then you guys are rubbing shoulders with them.
That's just the way it came out. It was me, a couple of seals, a couple of dolphins, none in the river, but it was just at the rowing club. I don't know how that's gonna let's say grow the BYD sales in this country, because nobody remembers either of them.
Yeah,
happens. Like these car companies that can't afford risk to get Dom Dollar or whatever. They have to go. Oh, who can we afford? 12 years ago, you know, that's what.
That's just what happened.
Edward Bunting, first of all, I'm surprised that you know who Dom Dollar is. And
I'm with the people, you know.
And secondly, you know. You've worked in corporate, you know, for automotive spaces. Have you rubbed shoulders with anybody as famous as Havana Brown and as famous as Red Foo?
You know what? this isn't me, but years ago they opened the Office Works in Carnegie, and they got Vanessa Amorosi in for that. that was pretty. Who else? Oh, no, they got Max Walker when he was alive, obviously, to come and do a talk thing at BMW Melbourne. We had him. Oh, and that Shayna Blaze chick from, you know, what was that show? You know,
the house
or something? Yeah, like where she'd come in and do the designs or whatever. Yeah. So there were people like that they dragged in. Oh, and there was some cricketer, Sachin Tendulkar. He came in.
Sachin Tendulkar is not some cricketer. He's the little master.
Well,
He's some cricketer to me because I know I wouldn't know. I walk past him in the street. So that's as famous as it got, I think, at BMW Melbourne. Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. It's nowhere near as good as what you just had, Riz. Like, that's just like next level.
Look, basically, it's the party that, you know, it's build your dreams type of party. Because when you're dreaming about 20 years in the past, that's what's up with BYD. So they had a couple of their cars. Basically, the rowing club got pretty annoyed by that situation as well. They're trying to bring their, whatever they call it, boats or whatever into their sheds, and they're being blocked by Atto 3s. It was a bit of a strange gig, but I don't know how many, like I said, what sort of publicity BYD was expecting, but it happened. That's all we can say.
So were you party rocking and shuffling, Riz? Like, that's the big question. That's the big question.
Well, basically, I had no choice. I had to. If I had to compete with that level of afro, then, you know, basically, I had an afro yesterday. I had to cut it off today.
Oh, man. We are also joined by the father-son duo, dynamic father-son duo, I should say, Rob and Harley. And we're also joined by Alamdeep Singh. How are you, gents?
All good. How are you?
Good. Happy to be here.
Very, very good. Just like I'm just a bit taken back by us being, you know, near somebody that's been near celebrities. It's actually quite special.
Can I say we went to a Mercedes-Benz X-Class launch in Mercedes of Melbourne, and we had Shane D'Elia, celebrity chef.
Oh, right. Okay.
The Renault Car Club years ago got Gabriel Gatte to do a demonstration.
That would have been awesome.
To be fair though, Rob, I don't think anyone else on this podcast can say, "Oh, you know, I've owned a car from a famous person." Your dad's got Shane Warne's ex-wife's car. So
that's correct. ML320.
Yep.
And who did it belong to? Simone.
Simone Warne. Yeah.
But Simone Warne. 108 Esplanade, Brighton.
Yeah. Shane Warne's ex-wife's car. That's funny. And
well, at least the car's with us.
Yeah. My Porsche that we had, the Cayenne, the ex-CEO of Rip Curl or founder of Rip Curl was the owner of it.
Oh, get out.
No.
That's cool.
Now, just on the famous things in cars, and I know it's probably too soon, but the Mercedes made it in the news last week, a C63S. For all the very wrong reasons. What of happened? This, I think this doctor that got killed in Doncaster.
Oh,
yeah.
I was just reading about that, yeah.
And
yeah.
it was the C, I think the guys tried to steal his C63S.
Wow.
And I think he tried to, I don't know, scare him off or whatever.
He chased them, apparently.
Yeah, it was on the road. Yeah. And it's... just, you know, the car thefts are increasing and innocent people are being targeted. So, you know, anyone with the McCann or anything that's, you know, high end, just got to be very careful out there. There's a lot of thieves at the moment and they'll do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But you don't want to chase them, you know. I mean, it's very heroic, but you might be right, but you might be dead right, you know. It's like... Yeah. You'll end up stabbed like that or hurt. You're better off just saying goodbye to the car.
Yeah.
Car talk top tip. Keep your keys where they can't find them, first of all. And secondly, you know, don't be a hero. Just, you know, it's only a car. It's not worth your life.
You've got insurance. That's what it's there for.
You hope you have insurance.
Yeah.
Well, if you got one of those, you'd hope you got insurance, wouldn't you?
Well, just like me, drive really old cars that no one wants to steal. Having said that, on Facebook yesterday, I saw a guy I know who's a motoring journalist. He's got a collection of weird, wonderful stuff. His Camira wagon, beautiful mint Aussie Camira wagon, was stolen. And I thought, who the hell's stealing a Camira wagon? Did they think? Did they just get the shape wrong? Because they kind of look like a Commodore wagon.
There's a guy selling a yellow canary yellow Camira that's kind of done up to look like an ex-cop car, like an ex-VL cop car.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's currently for sale as, you know, BT1 VR. B1. And everyone just looks liking it because it is so funny. But yeah, that's not good. So we'll go around the rooms with some car updates anyway, guys. So Rizzy Ross, that's been your update. Anything else in your world besides parting with, you know, famous people from 2012?
No, nothing that hardcore. No, not much else on my end. I'll pass it on to someone else.
Edward Bunting.
Hello. Yeah, it's been a while since I've been on. Where did we get to last time? Any memory of what the hell I was doing?
You've got the 124 wagon, and then now you've sold the 124 wagon.
Yeah, so I bought the 124 wagon, which was a 94 E220 clear indicator lens, sort of last of, which was a very clean paint interior cosmetic car. It had an oil leak, had needed some rear diff bushes. Anyway, I decided to put that car on Gumtree because I thought to fix it and make it roadworthy would have been, you know, a few grand's worth of work. And I just thought, I don't think it's worth it. I think an enthusiast might want to take that on. So I advertised that, not on Marketplace, because I thought I'm going to get inundated with moronic behavior here. Not on car sales because that's very expensive. So I put on Gumtree for $20. I had one inquiry and that guy was like, yep, done, agreed on a price, want it. It's going to Queensland. And he said, I work for a custom shop and we are going to rip out the four cylinder and put in an OM606 turbo diesel, which has been overseas, I think, and here, no doubt. But yeah, make it a real sort of a sleeper whopper diesel 124 wagon. I was like, well, that's a cool second life for that car. Hmm. So I dropped it off to the transport company Monday morning and yeah, so that one's gone. And my plan worked beautifully. I had one inquiry. He bought it. That's it. I didn't deal with anyone else. He transferred the money on time. Like just perfect. You couldn't have, it was textbook. And I thought, had I put that on Marketplace, I would have just been spending 2 days dealing with moronic idiots. So that was good. What else? I bought a Honda HR-V, like a 17 model, but that was bought with Mr. Prince's son in mind. They were looking for one, and the budget for his son didn't really stretch to, you know, your average HRV. But this one is a bit higher in the K's, but really clean. One owner, the guy was sort of into detailing, and it was a cool color and really well serviced. And so I kind of said, well, hey, I can grab this if the dollars line up and it gets where you want to be. You know, I wouldn't have sort of probably bought it off the cuff, but because they were interested, I thought, all right, I'll grab it and get it for them. So we did that, and they're very happy with it, and seemingly it's a really good car. So I was thinking before the show, that's a bit of a top tip. Like, it's not crazy to buy something with a bit higher in the K's that everyone else is put off by if it's got a great history. And it hasn't been, you know, crashed or anything like that. It enables you to get into sort of the, you know, reasonably new technology and airbags and all that stuff. Like, that's a 17 model. What is it? 6 years old this year. So it's not that old. Still looks pretty current, but it's done 189 Ks, but all highway Ks. So sort of easy running, you know. So there's that. What else did I have? I've got a little 01 Civic. I think I mentioned that a while back, maybe. I'm getting some work done on that. I've done tires and windscreen, and I've got to do a service and caster bushes and a few things. Then that'll go on the market. I've already got people sort of saying, oh, let me know when it's done. Let me know when it's done. You know, I want a cheap car. So hopefully I won't have to advertise that. I've been driving around in the Moke a bit. I've done probably maybe 600, 700 Ks in the Moke. All up, which is a good shakedown. There's still some little niggles I want to get sorted on. It's a rattle under the dash. The clutch needs more adjustment than it's got in it. Took it over to your house, Maddie. We had a fang around the beach in it. So, you know, on a summer's night, that's been good. I've been driving the MX-5. I took that for a good fang last night. That's driving very well. I think that's it, really. Yeah.
Nice. Scotty, now big news on the week, during the week.
Ooh, busy doing all kinds of things.
Not a roadworthy Scott, surely not.
Oof, that is coming up. That's next week.
That's, is it booked in?
Booked in for the 22nd.
Wow.
I just can't believe how busy everyone is. One of them that I wanted to take it to, they're booked out till Feb. So,
jeez.
I think the annoying thing is kind of around the area, they tend to use the same people. So, but that's booked in. Hopefully it's all good. I just mentioned one thing that needs to be done, and that's just adjusting the handbrake, but they should be able to do that for me. Mm-hmm. So big tick there. Looking at automobiles as well. For someone else looking at a Gen 4 Liberty, just the 2.5 liter. Really nice one that's just got about 140,000 Ks on it, pretty low. Premium edition. I need to view it better and ask a few more questions. Just want to.
We're known for chewing a bit of oil, those 2.5s.
Yeah, they can be. I just wanted to make sure that if he's done the timing belt and the water pump, if that's been done.
Yeah.
Because they're a little bit prone to go, especially the water pump. So
they should be really theoretically done every 100,000 anyway for peace of mind. So
yeah. Just want to make sure that is, or else wouldn't bother.
I know some mechanics and people do forego it. Like when you're doing the timing anyway at 100,000 Ks, it makes sense to throw the water pump in at the same time because you've already basically done the labor.
Yeah.
But occasionally you do get the person that, you know, forgets it.
Because I did it with my Subaru. Even though it looked like it had been done not long ago, I said, nah, just do it. Don't worry about it. I don't care if it was done not long ago. Just chucking a brand new one. You're already pulling everything apart. Saves you in the long run. Plus, that peace of mind, as you said, too. That helps. Hunting at vehicles for me.
Ooh. That's
about as far as I'll go with that. Because I change my mind all the time, so it makes it tricky. But
Is your Subi going to get sold, Scotty?
Yeah, I will. Yeah. They're actually gone up a bit selling for. So that kind of amazed me. There was some going for about like $8,000 and I don't think they were very good condition. I'm not saying mine's the best, but my interior is not too bad.
It's quite tidy.
Yeah, like my seats, yeah, obviously warm, but they all are, but not as bad as some of those others that I'm seeing going for like $8,000. Plus I don't have the twin turbo, so no one has to worry about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bonus. Plenty of suspension stuff done to it. Just had timing belt and everything done not long ago and water pump and brand new radiator. Don't need to top up radiator anymore. It's all good. Purrs like a kitten.
Not head gasket.
Nah. Thank goodness. Oh, my God. So that would have been a nightmare. And preparing for our Japan trip later this year. So a lot's been going into that too. Plenty of interesting things ahead.
Rob and Harley, updates with you guys.
Harley, anything with you? How's your car going, Yamrock, all right?
Drive it. Drives pretty good. Can't complain. Does what it needs to do. Send you a stock Yamrock, so.
There you go. I went to the Summer Bogan Fest up in Canberra.
Summer Nats.
Yeah, Summer Nats. Saw a beautiful little moke going around the oval there.
Ooh.
Very nice moke.
Did you partake in the punch-ons, Rob?
Yeah, there was fights, wasn't there?
Yeah, a few little, you know, punch-ons in there and a couple of teams being thrown across the road at each other and things like that. Just the usual stuff, you know.
Rob, just a question. How many fights did you actually start? Do you want to use this platform to apologize?
At least two.
Rob was one foot on the cans.
Yeah, and that was just amongst the mates.
Two that I know of.
Two that I know of, yeah. But it's just, there's two different crowds. There's the, you know, the professionals who get out there and whatnot, and then you just get the absolute bogans. They'll do absolutely stupid things, and they're going to ruin it, absolutely. And I think they have already because it's I don't feel that the crews around the showgrounds was as good as it had been in the past. And it's just something's missing with the whole Summer Nats. So I think they need to review it. They actually sent a survey and they're asking a lot of questions about how do you like it, what can we do, you know, better, and all sorts of things. And the cost to go to Summer Nats, general admission for the 4 days is $184.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah. And if you get a premium pass, which lets you in the grandstand to get smoked out in the burnout stand, costs you over $400.
Jesus.
Yeah, so, but overpriced for what it is. it would be nice if there was some more trade stands. You get your rare spares and your Aussie Coolers and PPG and, you know, Rod Hatfield, Custom Made Rod Shop, and the main players there. But it's Haltech, but it's still missing something. I think that it needs to be more trade-oriented. Mm-hmm. I think Motorex was a better display than a Summer Nats. So, you know, if they had a combination of the Motorex and the Summer Nats, it'd be big. But it's sort of, yeah, it's not there. So, yeah, it looks, it's been 5 years, and I won't miss it for another 5 years, maybe even longer. apart from that, everything's LS'd, LS swaps, Suzuki's, LS swap, RX-8s, LS swaps, Mercedes, you name it, everything's LS swapped. There must be a lot of trashed Commodores out there or something with all these LS motors from. Supercharged, a lot of cars are supercharged as well. You know, Range Rovers supercharged and with the LS in it, and just some crazy stuff with superchargers bolted onto it. Yeah,
at least that Range Rover will kind of be reliable now.
Oh, sorry, the Range Rover, yeah. It would be reliable.
Is that the one that had the big blower?
Oh, yeah, it broke its bumper bar off doing the burnouts.
Yeah,
saw
that one.
Yeah, and there's a Commodore there with a rotary motor in it.
Yeah, VL, saw that, four-rotor.
Yeah. So there were some nice cars, but in the past, I believe there were a lot more nicer cars there. So maybe people aren't building as many cars. It's probably getting expensive to build cars now.
Mm.
So you probably don't see as many custom-built cars. But I've come across the True Fit, they do the carpet molds local. Mm-hmm. They're in Dandenong. They're after a mold to do P76 carpets, because I've been trying to get the carpets and stuff sorted out for the P76, and they said if I can get the body down there, they'll make a carpet for it. They'll actually mold one.
Oh, wow.
That's cool. So that's one thing, and
you know what we said, Rob. It's next week that we're going to.
I don't know if that's going to happen. I've got some other local issues. I've got a very responsive council here at the moment, so I've got other things I've got to sort out before I start on that one. Yeah. So rode up to the Summer Nats, rode back, got a lot of rain. The roads were really washed away on the way back. Canberra, I hear, was unusually cool for this time of year. It was. I thought it was good. Not too hot.
What did you drive up in?
A BMW GSA 1250 motorcycle.
Oh.
So two of us rode up on our GSAs.
Yep.
Straight up the highway. But on the way back, we came up through Cooma, Jindabyne, over to Kosciuszko Ranges, through Barry Way, over to the dirt roads, and then cut across the dirt roads to Omeo, and then back over Bright. Hoffman Bright, then Tolmy, Mansfield home. So it was some good riding. So if you've got a four-wheel drive, you can really get to see parts of the country that are just fantastic with a four-wheel drive. You really can. And then I don't think we saw one police car between, Jindabyne and Bright. Hundreds of kilometres, no police cars.
That was, I'm assuming, Mexico for a little bit of that.
A little bit of it, yeah. So it was like Mexico. It really was. Apart from that, still working on a Maddie replica, RS replica. So I had a few problems there. Manny knows all about that with the paint work, and not only did the paint didn't take, the neighbours didn't take to me painting. So they called the council on me again. So,
local issues.
Yeah, so it's all good fun. That's it.
Alan?
The MX-5 did go for its service, and it took the mechanic about 2.5 days, which gets busy, and I wasn't in a rush. But he did end up changing the radiator, and he did the back brakes as well. Apparently they needed some changing, so I was happy with that. Funnily enough, he ended up, one of the mechanics dropped their keys in the MX-5, or keys of another customer's car. So I got a call the next day in the morning saying, is there a pair of keys? I was like, well, I didn't see anything. they, I think what they did was they put them on the passenger seat, which you frequently do when you're in the car, you know, throw something on the passenger seat. But the MX-5 seats, they've got a tiny little gap between the seat bottom and the back. And the moment you accelerate, it flies behind there and you just forget about it. So, you know, I checked around the driver's spot, didn't find anything. I'm like, you know, it's probably under the passenger seat. I pull it forward. There you go. A pair of Nissan keys. And I'm like, yeah, all right. I went and dropped him off and he was very happy about that. But yeah, the MX-5, he did report a front main seal leak, a small one. And because, like I said before, when I checked the dipstick, even after all the Ks, the dipstick did not really change much in the level. So it's not a huge leak that I'm worried about. It's probably something that when I end up getting like the timing belt done, it'll probably be a good opportunity then to get it done nice and easy. Why pay the extra labor for a small leak, I would say. The other thing, because obviously we've been looking at some video content, is I ended up getting myself a little GoPro thing. And an aftermarket company that does, they made the antenna adapter for the MX-5. They actually make something that you screw into the antenna port and you can basically mount a GoPro style camera to that.
Oh, that's cool.
The only problem is that's like $85 and I'm being cheap these days. So I thought, well, you know, they've obviously done some R&D, but I've also done my own R&D. And I found out that the bolt that screws into the antenna port is an M5.
Yeah.
And with, you know, some Bunnings kit, I basically made myself a little something that needs some washers. But basically it bolts into the camera and then it would bolt into the antenna port. And I've got myself my own GoPro mount. Yeah. So, you know, I think those would be some cool angles from, you know, the back of the car, kind of a nice wide angle view. But I've also got the more conventional kind of suction cup for the window and then put the camera on here. So I'm planning on possibly, if I get time, to get to King Lake, do a quick test drive and see kind of what kind of, I guess, video and audio we can get.
100%.
But apart from that, yeah, nothing too fancy on the car front. Things are just, going as normal.
Me, not much. Gave the cars clean. But that's pretty much it. Oh no. I noticed that I was driving the Typhoon and my interior lights were flickering a little bit. I was like, oh, that's a bit weird. Maybe it's the battery, could be the alternator. So I took it to work and put it on the battery tester. Battery's perfectly fine. But the alternator's overcharging. So it needs to be probably replaced. So I was like, oh, well, it is what it is. It's just an alternator. It's nothing major. So I've ordered one. I was going to pop it in when it comes along. But it's just one of those things that you got to do along the way. Got to order a nice big good Bosch one. So when that one rocks up, it should be all good after that. But moving on, gentlemen, to tonight's topic. Now, we all love cars, obviously that's the reason why we're on this show, but quite often we instantly hate cars for a certain reason. For me, you know, it's like I try to like every car on its merits, but if a car's universally bad and yeah, it kind of is, we're like, yeah, well, you know, we all agree with that. But there are some cars that get a bad rap, but they're actually not that bad. And I wanted to get your opinion on what they are. Now, I want to start with people saying straight away Subarus. Now, Edward, according to the internet, I know you're going to say head gasket, but according to the internet, you cannot drive a Subaru WRX out of your driveway without it blowing up.
That's not true.
It's you know, it's slightly true. But they're actually not that bad, especially when they're not modified and when they're pretty like standard or just with a little kind of touches here and there, they're fine. They're totally fine. You know, like Rob, you owned a WRX and it was a car you wish you didn't sell. And, you know, they're actually not a bad thing. Cause I was talking to a mate of mine and he's like, oh, bloody Subarus. I'm like, oh yeah. Well, what's up, buddy? He's like, oh, they're just got issues. I'm like, what kind of issues? He's like, oh, and he just started listing all these issues. I'm like, yeah, but that's only when you've like pumped a million pounds of boost into them and don't treat and like beat them. Like one of the guys I work with has got a highly modified WRX and he's like, oh, I use a bit of oil. I'm like, well, yeah. And I wonder why you thrash it. It lives on the red line. Like it quite literally lives on the red line, that car. He does plenty of track days in it. And And I'm like, well, you know, what do you expect? You know, but it's, he's like, oh, it's a Subaru. They should, you know, I should have bought a different car. I'm like, well, you know, standard, they're pretty fine. It's just that you've modified it to that extent and you beat on it terribly that you get problems. So the internet would have you believe that all Subarus, you know, Subaru WRXs especially, are prone to just blowing up. Which is, you know, it's somewhat true, but also not very true as well. In the same token. So, I wanted to get your opinion on what are cars that you've said, oh, actually, you know what, they're not too bad. Now we're instantly going to say we're not incorporating anything Holden Cruise related because they're just bad. But anything else, gentlemen, that then they're not too bad. Now, Edward, one car that comes to mind for you that I was going to bring up was your old Disco. You know, like it, you know, leaked oil and everything, but it was still kind of a reliable old bus, which you took to Fraser and everything, right? So it, you know, it kind of worked. But that
car was before they got electronic, you know, and before airbags and before ABS. It was basically a Range Rover, you know, running gear that had been around for 20 years, 30 years probably by then. Range Rovers came out in what, 1970? That mine was a 1993. So yeah, a decent amount of time. There was just sort of, it was all mechanical. So the only power thing in it, I think, was the headlight. It had headlight washers that were electric and the windows were electric. And that's sort of about it. You know, the rest of it's just diesel, clutch, manual, you know, coil springs. So it had things that had worn on it, like I replaced the springs and the shocks because they were the originals. Now, you know, 20-something years old by the time I did that. And the ignition barrel, you know, jammed up, needed a new one of those. But it was just wear and tear stuff. A couple of the windows stopped working, so you replaced the rail things in them. But it wasn't, it never failed to start, you know, it always started and was brilliant on fuel. It leaked oil, but it didn't use oil. You know, I drove it from up to Queensland and back and it didn't use any oil on that trip, which was quite remarkable. But yeah, so I would rate that as a good car. It was a good car, but later Discos are just plagued with issues, mainly to do with electronics.
Mm.
So are there better four-wheel drives out there? Yeah. Are there things that are built better with finer tolerances? Yeah. But that particular early model is a sort of a well-maintained one is not a terrible thing. I've seen worse.
We've just been joined by Chad. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. Good. Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear?
Awesome.
Topic for tonight, dude, is cars that get a bad rap but aren't actually that bad. We've started with two because apparently the internet says as soon as you drive your WRX out of your garage, it'll blow up. And you know, an early Landy Disco. So we'll go around the screens, guys. What are cars that you think that aren't actually that bad but get a bad rap?
The Holden Astras get a pretty bad rap too, don't they? Especially the last ones.
They did, yeah.
I think they probably drive all right when they were new for a little while.
Well, you know, I watched a video recently of a video by Redriven and they had the latest the last Astra VXR that they had here with the Opel OPC, and they said if they've been maintained, like there's a surprisingly a lot. A large amount of older, especially like AH and TS Astra still on the road. Yeah, the paint's faded on them, but like they've been kind of kept going, which is quite surprising because I remember when they first came out, they got such a bad rap like every mechanic was like, you got to do this home, but every 45,000 because the water pump doesn't make it that far. You got to do this, you got to do that. And but the fact that like they've made it this far is kind of, I didn't expect that to happen. So maybe they are better than someone would actually kind of perceive.
What year are you talking with those Astras?
From dot to the end.
Yeah. My brother had one and they always, when they were new, they were impressive because they had quite a lot of kit in them. He had like a 2005, I think it was like a TS, something like that. Yeah. And his was a little navy blue manual, 50,000 Ks on it, one lady owner. You know, it ticked all the boxes in terms of that. Quite well spec'd, and they had quite a refined feel. They were European to drive, you know, so the Vectras were the same. When they were new, they felt pretty premium and had a lot of kit in them. They just didn't age well. Like, stuff would fall off and windows would just go clunk into the door, and they were $300 each to fix. The front brakes, it would chew through those, and they were expensive and cover the wheels in brake dust. And it was European in feel, but it was European in service as well. It wasn't like a Mazda 323. And so consequently, because they were cheapish cars, they just didn't get overly well maintained, and now they're all ratty. Whereas like your Laser, Matty, that sedan you got, you know, given the far better car, you know, longevity wise.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, yeah, Astra's just maintenance heavy. And like you say, the timing belts. I remember my brother's, I think every 80,000 it needed it in that car, maybe 60, 70, 80,000. It was sort of just a lot of upkeep.
Yeah.
And the drive wasn't that good. I mean, the drive was premium in terms of suspension and stuff like that. They steered and rode well, but I remember the gears, I think it had that drive by wire throttle, and you know, you'd sort of go and it takes ages for the revs to come back down again, so you'd find yourself going first and then you're second, and then you sort of go dunk third. It wasn't a snappy up back throttle response, and that always annoyed me. You know, they were hard to drive quickly and sort of spiritedly.
Yeah, hard to drive smooth.
Yeah, hard to drive smoothly. Yeah. Yes, I would agree.
What are some other ones, gentlemen?
All right. You're gonna hear me out on this.
Oh, go for it.
The Hummer H3.
There
were, especially the ones sold in Australia, I'm pretty sure were only the inline fives.
I think so.
So there's literally nothing redeeming about them, but they looked like nothing else, right? There was nothing else on the road that they really would have the same presence as a Hummer. You probably get sworn at, yelled at, people would think you have, you know, penis issues, among other things. But it's, as a kid looking up at that car, there was something kind of magical about it. And I think the people that grew up to buy them obviously didn't grow up properly. There's something wrong with them. but despite all the shortcomings, especially again the ones sold in Australia out of the V8, there's still something that, like, you see how many, like, you know what? That's all right. That's cool. You ask any kid, like, to point out a Hummer, do you think that's cool? Yes, it's cool. There's something cool about Hummers. Once you get into them, once you drive them around, they're terrible. But just, you can't deny that there is just, even again, like in Need for Speed Underground 2, you get the Cadillac Escalade, the Lincoln Navigator, or the Hummer H3. Mm-hmm. Everyone would pick, even though the Hummer had the worst performance out of the three SUVs in that game, everyone would pick the Hummer.
Yeah, that's true.
It's something magical about that car, and I feel like, obviously, I would never own one. You know, I'll be straight up, I would never own one. But I do appreciate the fact that they were sold and people did buy them. Because again, they were a cool, unique thing on the roads, rather than, you know, especially a lot of people bought them in the yellow as well. Mm. People weren't really buying them in, you know, silvers and blacks necessarily. So they were cool, and they were a presence on the roads, which is hard to say these days when it's just silver ute, white ute, you know. SUV. So this is something a little different. It was an SUV, but it was a really funky looking one, and it still maintains that kind of funk look. Maybe we'll get the electric one here, maybe. I don't know.
You know what else is American that people put in that category almost is those early Jeep Cherokees. Like, terrible build quality, but they're actually quite robust mechanically. Yeah. Because they're simple. And so they had a bad rap when they were new, like, oh my God, I can't believe they're bringing this 20-year-old Jeep design out here as a brand new car, blah, blah, blah. But now, and you've talked about buying one of these, I think, Matt, even.
Yeah.
They're so kind of under $5,000 cheap, and they're quite good off-road, simple, robust, clunky things. But yeah, bad, but not that bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was on my list. The XJ Cherokee, like the first Cherokee that they brought here.
Yeah.
They're actually very sought after car in America now. There's ones that have done 400,000 or 500,000 miles on the original engine. Like, they're actually a very, you know, kind of reliable.
They're a six, aren't they? They're straight six.
Yep. They're a 4-liter straight six. Very basic. Very basic engine. But robust, and they just work. And super reliable. You know, yeah, the interiors are very, very cheap. But you know what? That's if you're wanting an off-roader that you can just take and be a mud plugger and beat on, I think that's a great option. Like that'd
yeah.
Yep.
Not crazy.
It's like everyone's like, oh, don't buy a Jeep. Yeah, don't buy a modern Jeep. I would agree with you, but those early Cherokees were a good thing. Like they're really
yeah, don't pay 40 grand for an early one, but 3 grand, you're like, eh. Not that bad.
My mate George bought one and 120,000 Ks on it. It's a deceased estate car. He took a punt on it, didn't run because the battery was flat. We hooked the jump pack onto it, on the button, turned, cranked over. Bought it for $1,000 and mechanic put up on the hoist for a roadworthy, just needed tires. He's like, mechanic looks really good. So he put a set of all terrains on there and loves it. Absolutely loves it. He's always like, I don't love the fuel economy, but the rest of it is good.
Yeah.
Aircon works. Like it's proper car. So yeah, they get a batter up, but they're actually a good car, the early Cherokees. XJs, that is the XJ chassis.
Well, can I quickly hark back to car updates? Because I've got a funny one for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember my Volkswagen Multivan that chewed a lot of oil that I sent to Grays online and then someone else bought it. Then a few months later, it's back online for sale. Well, guess what? The other day I'm scrolling and I'm like, oh, that looks familiar. She's back online again. So so everyone that buys that car, what a great Volkswagen. And then they realized that it chews more oil, as I said previously, than a Q80 tanker. And then they sell it. So it's just going to keep going around, I think, to the poor unsuspecting people.
It's going to pass a road where it'll be flying colors because there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, it's not leaking oil. It's just the motor just uses a shitload of it. Yeah.
The government's making a lot of stamp duty on the resale.
Exactly right. It's stamp duty after stamp duty on that bus.
Anyway. I think somebody's got to make a noble sacrifice for the environment. Buy the car,
electrify.
I'm not saying do commit insurance fraud, but
you know. unless someone's fixed the motor or put another motor in it, look, they might have, but I doubt it. I think it's
if it's doing the rounds again that quickly.
Yeah, exactly. She did the rounds again. Anyway, I thought that was just funny.
That is funny. And secondly, did you learn your lesson, Edward?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Very good. Boxes.
No boxes. Actually, quickly on Ed's car updates. I think because I missed it. How'd the Falcon go for you?
The Falcon, yeah, that was good. Because you were away for a few weeks there, yeah. I drove it to Canberra, as I mentioned, and it ran at highway speeds. It was fine. You know, it didn't do that little misfire that crept in, you know, towards the end of your ownership. So highway sitting on 100, 110, sweet as. And I said to the guys on this podcast at the time, there's not many cars that eat up the highway miles as comfortably and as cheaply as that gas Falcon. Mm. You know, it was perfect for that trip. So I fanged up there and hung out with my friend for the weekend and whatever, and fanged back and it was fine. And then I thought, needs a bit too much for roadie. It needs that rear main looked at. And there was that little bit of rust near the boot lid. And there were just a few things. I'm sort of adding tires and I'm adding it all up going, yeah, I don't think it's worth me roading it. So that went to Grays online as well. And I think I sold it for $2,300 minus the fee. I probably got $1,900 or $2,000. You know, so it was only a few hundred dollars, you know, difference to what I paid you guys. But I thought, well, I've had a trip to Canberra out of it. It was cheap to run and you get a few hundred, probably paid for the trip, a few hundred dollars. Yeah. I thought that was the best way to deal with that rather than starting to throw money into it. But very comfortable car. And as I said to Maddie at the time, I've had 3 gas Falcons. They're the only Falcons I've ever had. And I've got nothing but respect for those cars.
Very, very good.
Glad it turned out positively.
Yeah. But no more Voxies, no, never.
Few turbocharged gas Falcons at the Summer Nats, actually.
It would have been.
like Luca's car, you know, you can build those motors right out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, okay. That's to cook that car. But anyway, here's one from me that this is probably the most divisive one I've got on my list. It's a Mazda, but it's not the Mazda you'd think. Everyone's like, "Oh, Mazda, fine." It's an RX-8.
Yeah.
Everyone rags on the RX-8. Oh, it's unreliable. It's this, it's that. It's this, it's that. And look, to an extent, you're right. It's not the most reliable Mazda ever made. Not the most reliable rotary ever made. Every 100,000 is probably a rebuild time. But I remember driving one that had 120,000 Ks on it. Was completely original, Never had the engine done, and it revved and it drove and it handled really, really well. And like chassis wise was brilliant. Engine felt great. So I guess when they're working, I can see the appeal behind them. But when they're not working, they are very, very expensive. But everybody's like, oh, why would you buy an RX-8? Like, that's a cheap man's rotary. That's a, you know, it's a bad car to get. In terms of like a driver's car, it's a phenomenal car. And I was kind of like doing math in my head and stuff. And, you know, I was thinking like cheap sports cars from that era. You know, you're looking at like 996 Porsches and stuff like that, but they've all got those IMS issues anyway. So like, you're still after an engine rebuild. So at the end of the day, you're not any worse off than a Porsche than you are in an RX-8. And I think the RX-8, it's cheaper to get into an RX-8 as well. So you'd have money left over, and it'd probably be a smarter option. But yeah, everyone kind of rags on the RX-8, and I think it gets a bad rap. And if look in most parts for fair reason, but. I think it's a car that's actually very misunderstood, and if it's been looked after and driven how it's supposed to be driven and redlined and you know, checked the oil, or, you know, every time you put fuel in it, you should get good life out of one. But
I'm gonna check the oil a lot.
Yeah,
I do wonder on that, like how much of it has kind of been, again, owner mismanagement in some of these cars, like you've mentioned the Subarus. You know, I've at this point. Yes, the STI doesn't get many Ks, but I've owned two. My uncle's owned a Legacy GT. My brother-in-law now has a WRX. And, you know, most of them, Scotty's Liberty as well. Like, you know, they don't die on you as or get catastrophically kind of die as much as people think if you do take care of them. And you're just, I guess, a decent person about how you drive them. Like, if you're getting 150 Ks to a tank in your car, which a lot of, you know, Subaru owners do, they have more power too, but you can't expect the car to be lasting. You're obviously caning the car. And if you cane the car, are you making sure that maintenance is up to spec? Probably not, you know? And again, with the rotaries, yeah, a lot of people say like they may try and drive them like a regular car, not knowing that to be cruising around at 4,000 RPM is actually quite normal. Like you shouldn't be trying to pat it down at 2,000 or something. You should be there 4.5, 4. And maybe some people just aren't driving, like you said, not driving up in the higher revs, kind of doing that sort of thing. And then wondering why the car hasn't lasted as long as they probably expected to. Obviously, there are inherent issues with the platforms that you can't deny. But definitely kind of the responsibility of the user as well. It's often overlooked when it's just, you know, things going wrong with the cars.
Well, I was reading, you know, a reason why the RX-8 was so, it was an instant success. It was a sales success, actually, but it wasn't a loved success. And because a lot of people bought it because it was a cheap rotary. But when they bought it, they're like, oh, it's a cool sports car. It was a cheap sports car. Because when RX-7 was here, RX-7 was very expensive. RX-7 in the 90s was 70,000 plus, which is almost 140 grand today. So when they saw this RX-8 in the 50s or so, people that didn't really know cars, but they just bought a sports car, they bought that and they didn't really know how to maintain a rotary engine powered car, because they'd think, oh, it's just like another car, just, you know, put fuel in it, off you go. When rotaries have got a bit more of a different way of you know being looked after, so a lot of them just kind of fell away by the wayside, and a lot of them met very untimely ends because they just weren't maintained correctly and driven correctly, you know, like a lot of midlife crisis people don't go out there to thrash their brand new, you know, sports car. They'll go and enjoy it, but that's a car that needs revs. Like it's like ask any rotary person, they're like, yeah, these engines need to be revs. You know, so I think that also contributed to the fact that car was not very loved because they did have many failures, and the revision 3 and 2 is, I think they did get better, but at the end of the day, I think they were just a misunderstood car from the get go.
You can almost put the BMWs in that same basket, couldn't you? Like the love-hate relationship with BMWs.
Scotty would beg to differ, but that's he shakes his head.
Hate.
Hey, what about that? The post that I sent through.
Oh yeah.
So there's a bloke showing a car that he got. I can't remember, but he got a new car. But in the background, there's a E46 M3 in the garage, and I just wrote like, are you a sucker for punishment? And he goes, yep, it's been sitting on jack stands for 7 months.
Sounds about right.
Yep.
Great car.
It's also, the flip of this topic, Maddie, which could be another whole episode, but there are cars that are supposedly good that are sometimes shit, like Corollas. You go, well, oh, nothing is wrong. Corolla's amazing. Great, get a Corolla. You know, my friend is chewing heaps of oil and it's done 120,000K, you know, like, and I was behind one, the same gen the other day. This is like 07-ish and it was belching smoke. Like, and it was, I smelt it. It was oil burny smoke. And I thought, oh, that's a Corolla. Like they, even without servicing, they shouldn't do that. You know, so there are duds of supposedly good cars and there are, you know, cracking ones of supposedly bad cars. You do, and it's a bit model specific or year specific, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, and like Scotty, I'm sure when the E46 was running perfectly, it would have been a phenomenal drive. But it just gave you those such a hard time.
Yeah. When it was running, I mean, that engine won awards for a reason. So great car, but it would have been great to own that brand new. Obviously there was a few issues when they were brand new, but what car doesn't have recalls and things like that? It's pretty common.
Yeah.
To have recalls and things like that. Yeah. It was a fun car when it was working and dialed in and doing what you wanted to do. I admit that. Yep.
Similar issue with the Corollas, just going back to what was said before. The traction control used to kick in and go into limp mode in the Corolla that I owned.
All right.
You had to actually pull to the side of the road, turn it off, turn it back on before you can go again.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And they'll say, "Oh, that's just normal." I said, "How could that be normal?"
Limp mode.
Was it going limp mode when you were doing burnouts or Macca's Tray donuts?
Oh, was that the Summer Nats doing a burnout when it went into limp mode? It was actually Killer Mountain Highway, but the road was a little bit wet, and actually the wheel slipped a little bit, and it just shut down. Oh, that was it.
Yeah.
Had to decide, turn it off, turn it back on again. And I come off a gravel road once, and it spun a little bit off the gravel road. Again, limp mode. Coming onto a main highway.
No good.
A Corolla.
Corolla. Don't buy it.
don't buy one of the world's best-selling cars.
Keep up an Alpha.
Yeah, don't buy my Corollas, that's for sure. I had a Corolla Seeker. That was a good car. One of the
I had one of them.
Oh, well, that was an awesome car.
That was great. Yeah, nothing went wrong with that.
What about you, Chad? What's a car that gets a bad rap but it's actually quite good?
I feel like you guys have pretty much touched on everything I can think of. I'm going to bring up one from where I grew up in Turkey. There are these remade Fiats, which are they're called like Tofas, T-O-F-A-S,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're kind of like the staple. They're kind of like the Lada or the Gaz, G-A-Z?
Yeah,
of Turkey. They're kind of just seen as like the bare necessity of a car, right? And if you have one, it's kind of like you're really down like on the food chain. It's just what it is. I personally, I really like them because they really have like awesome 80s, 90s Fiat styling.
Yeah.
They are, I don't know, they kind of hold like a small, I guess, part of my heart just from growing up around them. But yeah, they're kind of just seen as like pieces of crap that you either you know, have because it's better than walking, or it's it's just kind of like it was passed down to you or something like that. Like it's kind of like you need to upgrade or something, you know, like
you buy it, you have to own it, not because you've chosen to own that,
pretty much. Yeah, it's like, you know, who buys a beige Camry or whatever. It's you get given the beige Camry instead of, you know, choosing it. No, choosing the beige.
You try and find who first bought the beige Camry. You just can't find them.
Yeah. It was like released into the population by the maker to like throw people off or something. Yeah. Look, I think I gotta say maybe Subarus are probably at the top of the list for me, at least. They're just obviously seen as things that have head gasket issues, and I've been talking about that quite a bit with Maddie recently. And yeah, you know, bad gearboxes, you know, launch and rebuild it or whatever, that kind of thing. But I think when they work right, they're phenomenal cars, and yeah, they just they can give you a lot of, I think, satisfaction in terms of driving. So yeah, that'd have to be my pick.
There's been a few Frenchies that are interesting too. Like, you know, people go, oh, French cars. But, you know, a mate of mine's had a brilliant run out of his 508. You know, it's the big luxury Peugeot from like, oh, how old would it be? Probably 10
years. Yeah, weird looking one.
Yeah, weird looking big black thing. It had head-up display. The tech in it was quite good. But that was a turbo diesel, and he had a brilliant, he did 110,000 K, only sold it recently, I think, and had a very good run out of it. So you do get some, yeah, you wouldn't think it'd be good, but that stuff is everywhere. When I was in France a couple of years ago, Peugeots are everywhere. They're so patriotic with their cars. There's no Mercs in France. It's literally Citroën, Peugeot, Renault. And so they sell bucket loads of these things over there, and, you know, they all still run. So I think there are, again, it's probably model specific and engine specific, but you can get some good ones.
I'll put another car in the class, Alfa Romeos, the entire range. they're a great car. And they reckon you're not a car lover until you own one, but I'm too scared to own one.
Don't do it, Rob. I half owned one with a friend of mine. And that was just a buy and sell proposition.
But so you had a quarter of a car because it was only half a car when you bought it.
Yeah. It was a big problem.
I'd love like a 1998 or a 97 GTV6, like that. The little
coupe.
Yeah.
I printed a couple of 156s, and they were pretty good. You know, again, they need timing belts often. Yeah. But they were engaging to drive, and he had a pretty good run out of those 156s.
A mate of mine's got a 147 GTA.
Yeah, that's hot. That's hot.
V6 manual front wheel drive hatchback, talks there for days. But it bloody rips. And he's like, I've put a lot of K's on this car. He's like, I've never broken it. It's just worked. And I'm like, that's something to be said about that. Like, it's, he's like, I've had zero issues.
Just because the dashes crack and airbags pop out of them and other things. Yeah.
Yeah. Normal, Rob.
Any other ones, gentlemen, before I give my last one?
Go last one, then go quiz.
I reckon one more.
Yep.
Volkswagen Golf.
Ooh. Okay, Scotty. All right.
Yeah.
Why?
They're bad and they're still bad.
Yeah, look, they're not really bad. It's no different than Subaru. You keep it stock, maintained.
No.
They're not bad.
The maintenance on a Golf has no effect. You can have the best Golf. I'll give you a real-world example, right? My friend inherited his mum's Golf recently, 2014 model, not old, or 10 years old. Done 30,000 Ks. You know, this thing's barely been driven. I said, get rid of it, buy a Mazda 3. You know, which is what he had before. Never had a problem with that. So he goes, no, I really like the Golf. Really low. I'm going to keep it so low K's. It's low K's, Ed. And I was like, yep, I don't care. It'll hit itself. Anyway, it does the mechatronics unit or something and whatever. And I'm like, wow, 30,000 K mechatronics unit. Good. Yep. So then he keeps going for a bit longer, another year maybe. And it does the recently, it just did the, it was getting hot in traffic, you know, water pump, radiator, all of that, thermostat, all that's replaced, $1,000 later. And he said, okay, Ed. And he was very reluctant to tell me. And I was like, told you so. So he went and bought a Mazda 3 GT sedan, the new GT sedan thing, quite a nice spec. And I said, good. That's what you should have done a year ago and saved yourself all this trouble. The Golf's now done 45 and he's just on sold it. So good riddance.
They do drive well.
They drive well. No, my friend's GDI was great. And that's what sucks people in. They feel nice. The plastics feel good. They drive well. They just don't last.
You had the same thing with your Golf, didn't you, Rob? Pretty much.
Yeah, I bought a brand new Golf Comfort Line, full house, everything in it, and everything went wrong in it. But mine was an early model Golf 5, African built, and they were still learning about design in those early days too, about CAD design and components. And the Golf 6, I understand, had like something like, I don't know, 500 to 1,000 less components when they assembled the car. So it became a bit more reliable, not much, but it did become a little bit more reliable with, you know, window computators, seat mechanisms and bits and pieces. But still with the driveline, they still had other issues.
There's a wonderful YouTube video I saw of Golf 6 GDI, and it's like, oh, common things that'll go wrong. This guy's presenting with your Golf 6 GDI, and you just scroll. Like, the list is just like, da 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 da. It's like, oh, my God, this doesn't happen on a Honda. It just doesn't.
Scotty, I will agree with you to an extent, because I've seen some Golfs make incredible power. How long they last is another story, but they can do it. And the fact that they can do it, it's I'll give them credit where credit's due. It's pretty impressive.
Well, I don't know if like the Golf R's are any better compared to a normal GTI.
Well,
reliability wise.
Well, Moog from Mighty Car Mods bought that Wolfsburg edition one, and it had low K's, but the do you remember the rear Haldex was stuffed in it, and it had like low K's. I'm like, how does a car this new have the whole Haldex?
Just such a cursed system. The Haldex, like anything that uses Haldex from in the last 15 years is buggered.
Volvo's, I don't know, Anthony with his
Volvo's did it, didn't they? Yeah. Anthony had that with his Polestar thing.
My last one before we get to the quiz, gentlemen, is the Chrysler Crossfire.
Well, that was a Mercedes SLK.
Yeah, it was virtually an SLK, which SLK is not a... it was an older SLK. It wasn't a bad car. Mechanically okay, it was pretty much the same thing. It was actually had a bit less tech than the Mercedes. And it got a bad rap because, you know, people think it looks like a dog's taking a dump, which I can kind of see.
Not very attractive car.
No, it's not. It's not. But the I thought it was kind of a, you know, it got a bit of a bad rap and it wasn't that bad. But anyway, gentlemen, that is...
As a package, it's an awesome car, though. Like, especially an SRT, supercharged rear-wheel drive. Like, it's got all the good stuff, but terrible aesthetics.
It was good to see something different.
I agree. And so that's why I kind of was like, you know what? It gets a pass for me. Like, I think it's kind of quirky. And I was like, you know what? I kind of like it. So... But anyway, I will digress, and I won't be a complete snob about it. But I know, Edward, you got to go, so we'll get into the quiz real quick. So guys, you know the rules: 10 questions plus some bonus questions. Let's get straight into it. Question one: Victoria's final Holden Commodore SS High Patrol car has been retired to where?
Scott. Wasn't it to the Holden Museum?
Absolutely, Scotty, to the Holden Museum in Trafalgar. One point to you, well done. According to ANCAP, safety ratings are now only valid for how many calendar years?
Ed. 3.
Incorrect.
Scott. 2.
Incorrect.
Rob. 5.
Incorrect.
Oh. Chad, 4. Chad.
Incorrect. You guys were so close. 6. Six calendar years.
All the classes.
Yeah, Rob. Yeah. So every 6 years, if the model's still for sale, it will get its rating cut, and you got to start again. Speaking of cars, they got the new Kona and the new ZRV didn't get 5-star ratings on the new system. They only got 4. Question 3: A famous Mercedes-Benz advertisement that was made in Australia showed a W126 and a family in the clip. What was unique about this ad?
Ed. Well, there are a few things unique about the ad, but it showed the car panning from the right-hand side on the passenger side down to the front, and it looked immaculate. And then as it got to the front, it was destroyed. And they talked about the 123 safety features built into every Mercedes-Benz that saved the family's life, you know, like the passenger seat
The crumple zone around the passenger compartment, the steering wheel dropped down and away from the driver, the engine went down and under the car. You know, it was this horrific, it's a brilliant ad. You should watch it. It's a horrific impact. And then it showed the family at the end standing there, you know, going, the Nice family, this is the Nice family. And it just says to them, a Mercedes-Benz is not a luxury. You know, it saved their life. You know, yeah. Amazing. Now, oh, and it won awards at Cannes Film Festival, like the for the advertising, it won awards. Yeah.
It was a very good ad.
Did I get it right?
Yes, you did. Yep. You got both points right there, Edward.
So it was a Thistle Green Mercedes 420 SEL long wheelbase, I think.
It was. Question four. Toyota has a new commercial for their GR86 overseas. It's gotten quite seen all over the world because it shows another car from a famous anime. What car was it?
Scott. The
AE86. AE86, correct. They're drifting next to each other, and it's pretty cool. Question five.
It's got a random interlude. A guy I used to work with used to date the girl, the teenage girl, out of that Mercedes commercial.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So random.
I just remembered that.
See, talking about famous people, mate. We're all about the Z-list celebrities right now. Question five, which hot hatchback has been confirmed to no longer come with a manual transmission?
Ed. Golf? GTI/Golf R?
Absolutely. Golf GTI. Well done. Mm. Well done.
That's the one thing where you could save yourself a bit of maintenance rather than a DSG. You know?
Yeah.
Manual. The manual keep working.
Question six. In 2023... which brand had the most recalls?
Chad. Hyundai?
Incorrect.
Most recalls.
Ford.
Incorrect, Bunting.
Rob. Chrysler?
Incorrect. You're the closest so far, though, Rob.
Well, Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, all of them.
Scott.
Is
it Jeep?
Incorrect. It surprised me too. Has everybody had a go? I think everybody's had a go, right?
There you go. Is it Toyota?
No, it's not Toyota. It's Mercedes-Benz.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Nah,
no way.
Yep. The most recalls of any vehicle, like you know, like the.
Yeah, because they're more diligent and more trustworthy.
I'd like to think so.
It's a good way to put it.
I mean, a lot of it's software and what have you. That's why I said Toyota, because they sell by far the most amount of cars. And like my mum's Yaris has had three recalls on it. You know, the thing hasn't broken down, but it's like one was a software update that you wouldn't even know. One was like, oh, the wheel arch liner can do this, so we're just replacing it with a modified one. And like, this is minor stuff, but it's still a recall.
Yeah.
Question number seven. Which brand had the greatest number of vehicles recalled? So Mercedes had the most recalls, but which brand had the most vehicles recalled, like actual in terms of volume? Yes, Chad.
Tesla?
Tesla's incorrect.
Toyota?
Incorrect, Bunting.
Scott. Jeep.
Jeep is incorrect. I like how he's staying with the Jeep theme, but it's
thought I would.
Jeep, hey.
Jeep just wouldn't bother. So they'd be like,
I'm going to go the other way, Ford.
Incorrect. It was Mazda. Mazda had the most vehicles. Question seven. Question eight. I'm introducing a new new style of question. It's called listen to the ad and guess the car. So this was their blurb on their ad. Being supercharged means blank. Blank refers to the car, delivers 241 kilowatts of power instantaneously. Chad.
Orion TRD.
Orion TRD is absolutely correct.
Nice. Well, as soon as you hear kilowatts, you know. Yeah.
But here's the best part about this ad is that it has a go at Ford, and it's a sneaky job. You'll see. 241 kilowatts of power instantaneously without any lag to associate it with turbocharging, because they're in a fight with Ford at the time
that's great.
The sedans. It also means you get exceptionally good fuel economy from its quad cam V6 when not putting your foot down. All this is beautifully complemented by razor sharp handling thanks to its unique sport suspension setup and superb stopping power thanks to high performance braking system.
Man, I wish they made those in manuals.
Dude, imagine a TRD or a manual.
Oh my god!
Imagine all-wheel drive TRD. Like, you know, it's that would have been like It would have been the car. It's a shame. It really is that they didn't really go.
Were those TRD Hiluxes any good?
Yeah, they were good. They're still a fair few around, and they got kept on the road because they were expensive and they were very expensive to run. I can't imagine a 4-liter V6 supercharged Hilux being cheap to run. But all right, next one, guys. Just question number 9. It's another ad related question. It says 0 to 100 in 5 seconds, save 6.2. 0 to 100 in 11.2 seconds, save $454,479. It's a Toyota ad back in the 90s. What car would this be for?
Ed. Toyota Starlet.
Starlet is correct. That is absolutely correct, Edward.
Wow. Those are some numbers to claim.
And the last question 10, is another ad-related question. It is... Powered by the twin-charged 132 TSI engine with paddle shift controlled 7-speed dual clutch employing VW Group technology and sporting 17-inch wheels, LED running lights, stylish black diffuser, and twin exhausts, this blank boasts performance to back up its attitude. That's not to say that the blank doesn't have a softer side. Sport suspension, front sport seats, Ed.
Toyota Octavia RS.
Incorrect. Bluetooth connectivity and streaming, multifunction stereo, 6 airbags, electronic stability control to have the perfect balance of high-end performance, comfort, and safety. Unleash Chad. Your mean streak, Chad.
Mark 6 Golf, GTO.
Incorrect. And the quote was made, the new blank made from meaner stuff. It's a VW Group product, but it's not a VW.
That's why I said Skoda.
Twin charged has to be something TSI.
And it's, I'll give you a hint, guys. Edward was right. It is a Skoda of some description.
Is it a Fabia or something?
I can't say anything.
No, I can't say anything.
Rob and Scotty still got a chance to go.
I honestly don't know too many Skodas other than the Octavia.
I thought it sounded sporty. That's why I said Octavia RS.
What was the other one? The Skoda.
Fabia?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, what he said.
What he said. It's the Fabia, but what Fabia?
Oh, I don't know. I don't pay any attention to the product.
Is there an RS? Something.
Yeah, so you said RS. Skoda, Fabia RS. I'll give you the point, Rob. Well done.
Okay.
That is your car quiz. Gentlemen, Rob and Chad on 1, Scotty on 2, and tonight's winner on 4 is Edward Bunting. Well done.
Oh, yay.
I like that segment, Matty.
Sorry, what was that?
Yeah, the ad segment.
Yeah.
Yeah, do that again. We like that.
Yeah. All right,
cool. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Like Scotty's cryptic cars.
Yeah. And I will. I really love the Starlet one. 0 to 100 and saving $472,000 or something. It's a cracker ad. Gentlemen, I think that's a podcast.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
Thank you. I must run.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon, Ed. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Scotty's golf tip of the week.
Golf tip of the week for this week is. Be careful when you're playing it when it's too hot. I played the other day. By the end of it, I was absolutely wrecked. Keep your fluids up. Use sunscreen. SunSmart out there.
It's slip, slop, slap, slide, and what's the last one now? It's like 5 things now. So
it is now. I don't know. I can't remember.
Do those.
Slide what?
Slide some glasses on. Some sunnies on. And... I want to look it up.
Slip on some sunscreen, slap on a hat.
It says, sleek and slide. Sleek is, what the hell is sleek? Hang on.
Isn't it put on a t-shirt or something they want you to do?
It's
slip on a t-shirt?
It's slip on a shirt, slap on some sunscreen, slap on a hat, sleek behind a like shade, like an umbrella, and slide on some sunnies. There you go. That's your car talk top tip of the week. Car talk top tip. like the tip, Scotty. If it's hot, just keep those electrolytes up. Take some water, mm-hmm. get some Gatorades. Yeah,
play a bit slower. It's not a rush.
Yep, absolutely.
It's going to destroy yourself.
Rob's fabrications, electrical firefighting. What else?
And my tip, love thy neighbor.
Yep, love thy neighbor. Yep, absolutely. That's a that's a joke, by the way, to our listeners. we'll have to sort something out about that. I'm serious that we do a barbecue at your place and we make that happen.
We're gonna have that meat in the street.
Yep, absolutely. and Chad, anything you want to plug?
Not really.
Chad's drifting. Coming to a roundabout near you.
Chad's drifting. Chad's van haulage.
Like and share our Facebook page. It's Car Talk TRQ with Manny J. If you miss any of our previous episodes, they're all up on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasting apps. So don't forget to subscribe and review to us there. Check out our merch. Go to Teespring store. Go to teespring.com and type in Car Talk store. We've got our new merch dropping tonight. So we've got the new Fiesta design's out, and the Commodore Ute will be out as well. So that'll be out tonight. Become a patron to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/CarTalkPodcast. Support the show there. And also check out our YouTube. We're on YouTube. Go to Car Talk Podcast and type in. You can see some of our first 100 episodes, and we're gradually getting up to it. Almost at 500 episodes, guys. Can you believe that? We're almost at 500. We're gonna do something special for the 500. So I've got a couple of ideas, but we'll talk about that in due course. But gentlemen, always good. See you next time. Take it easy.
See ya.
See you guys.